Welcome to another faith-building message by Pastor Phil Pringle, leader of C3 Church. For more information about Phil and C3, please visit myc3church.net.
Hey guys, I've got Chris, my wife, here with me. Just wanted to take a moment to talk about our Vision Builders, which is just about to come up in our church service.
Yeah.
And Chris, there's so many people who are tuning into our podcast, and I just wanted to make sure that everyone had the opportunity, if you've been blessed through this ministry, to be able to give and become part of this ministry, which is obviously not just touching Sydney, but reaching to the four corners of the earth, it seems. Somebody from Russia was sending us an offering just this last week, and they said, we've been so blessed by the tools and the teaching that we've been receiving, we wanted to give, and it wasn't, you know, unsubstantial either. They were seriously wanting to support and become partners with us.
It was wonderful. We want to get the word of God out across all the nations of the earth, and sometimes some nations just don't have access to, you know, big local churches or ministries, and podcast is just the most amazing way with all the new technology to receive the word of God and to be a part of this ministry.
Exactly.
So it's very exciting. I want to thank you for all your support.
Yeah.
You know, I love that bit in the Bible where Jesus was about to do that first miracle, but he didn't know he was going to do a miracle. Nobody knew, but his mother said to the guys at the wedding, whatever he says to do to you, do that.
Do that.
And I love that, and I feel that that's the whole key to
giving. Best advice a mum could give anybody.
Exactly. And out
do whatever that, Jesus tells you.
Yeah, out of that obedience, a miracle happened.
Totally.
Of supply.
And we believe that everybody who gives to the Lord will never be cheated out of their reward, won't lose in any way. God is not trying to take from us. He's trying to bring blessing into our lives. And certainly giving is one of those ways that blessing doesn't just flow out of us, but flows to us.
Yeah, and it's part of our personality as a Christian.
Totally.
Generosity.
Exactly.
To him that is generous will more be given.
Exactly. In fact, I would think that generosity is possibly one of the first signs that you actually have become a Christian.
Yeah.
When Zacchaeus was converted, he had been a taker illegally and immorally from a lot of people, but as soon as he was converted, he became a giver. And he wanted to be a blessing to other people. And so it's a sign that Jesus is in our lives when we come give us. So we simply wanted to talk about that area so that you might feel, if you are able to and if you're inclined to send an offering and to become partners with us and to become part of the support system right around the world that is getting this message and the Word of God out to so many millions of people. So I wanted to encourage you to give. Please go to myc3church.net and you'll find all the instructions for that on there. Okay, this message this morning is a pretty involved one, but it's one that I have been meditating on all these holidays, and this passage of scripture is like one of my most favorite. I'm sure it is for you, but just before I start off, I'm using my iPad instead of a blackboard because the blackboard gets in front of everything. I just want to say that again to you, this statement. Don't forget to smile. Amen. So often you can do that, right? And I don't know if you've got your emoji thing going on, but it's easy to forget to smile. I want you to look at the future, and I tell you, I did an enormous study on the Proverbs 32 woman. Proverbs 31. And in Proverbs 31, it says, she smiles at the future. That's one of the translations. Although, what a beautiful statement that is. And all of you in here, especially the ladies, who are possibly more prone to anxiety and worry than men. I'm not sure about that, but, you know, so-called scientists and researchers, whatever. But look at your future year and smile. So I want you to do that right now. Just a little, you know, congregational exercise. Smile. Get your best smile. One that connects up with the heart. You know, go, come on. Come on. And do smile with your eyes too. Don't do those non-smiley eyes. You know the smile without the eyes? It looks like a cynical, fake smile. Now you got to lift the bottom of your eyes up a little. But the best smile is the one where the corners of your lips go down, but the rest of your mouth goes up. It's like, wow, this is going to be such a good year. Don't forget to smile, people. And then another really good smile is like where you do that. You put the corners of your lips down, bring up the top, and then lift an eyebrow. Wow, it's really going to be amazing. Just one eyebrow. And that's like, I know something the rest of the world doesn't. I'm just teaching you about smiling, people. Amen. They say you use less muscles to smile than you do to frown. So take it easy on yourself. Have a break. Just smile a little more. Don't forget to smile. Isn't it a horrible thing when you wake up and think, like you just wake up to yourself and think, I haven't smiled all day. And just make yourself smile. You will find, I mean, I know a lot of people think life comes from the inside out, but sometimes I find life goes from the outside in. That if I do something like smile, suddenly I'm feeling a little better on the inside. And I can change the inside attitude just by actually adjusting some of that outside attitude. It is impossible to be angry and smiling at the same time. It's impossible to be hateful and smiling at the same time. And now I want you to think about your enemies. We thought about the future and we go, think about 2017, go, I'm smiling on my future. Now think about your enemies. I'm smiling at all those beautiful people, amen. I'm smiling over them. The smile is like favor. It's like putting a blessing. God smiles on you. His smile is manifested in the name of Jesus. All right, that's just entree. Now let's get on the main course here. Ephesians 3:14. I want you to come with me to Ephesians 3:14. It's going to be a great year. It already started on the 4th of January. Our son Joseph proposed to a young lady called, I'll tell you what her name is shortly, and she said, yes. It's not that I've forgotten. Yeah, right. And ugly-looking couple, aren't they? You know, it's like, golly, he's a handsome guy. Takes after his... Ooh, got to walk carefully right now, don't I? Mother, amen. Just a great moment and to start the year with. And except when you start to think about these days, the father of the bride doesn't pay for everything, does he? It's sort of shared cost. Is that right, people? Yeah. Stop nodding. Amen. Do that. Be old school with me. Yeah. No, it's, yeah. So that's good. Got something to look forward to. Ephesians 3:14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So thinking about a wedding in the middle of the year, the budget. For this reason, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's got to be a reason, a cause enough that'll send you to your knees. And I think that when we, you can go back to the holding screen, guys. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is a reason why Paul was bowing his knees in prayer. And I would like to think that as we start the year and we're thinking about resolutions and plans and goals, I've got to tell you, I can't remember when I've ever made a New Year's resolution. I'm sort of not given to them. And I get this sneaky feeling on the inside of me that, number one, that I don't want my commitments and my resolutions to do things to be tied to a certain point of time, to an event in the year, so that then I'm committed, but, you know, as time passes, that might fade. I want that commitment and resolution to be part of my whole lifestyle every day. I'm just going to do stuff, and I'm committed to do it, and it didn't matter whether it was New Year's or a birthday or just a Sunday or a Monday. This is just what I do. It's a lifestyle more than a commitment. But the second and more serious reason, I think, is when I hear people make a resolution, my resolution is this, I'm going to do this, it always feels like it's them who, relying on their strength, they're going to fulfill this particular thing. And I get nervous because whenever we decide we're going to do something, and we haven't invited God into the process, or we haven't even heard from the Lord, that we're on our own. And if you don't invite God into a thing, he says, sure, go ahead. You know, like, you're on your own. And we will find ourselves being disappointed with our ability to fulfill things that are formed in the best intentions of our mind and come from the best motivations of our heart, and yet we sort of fall over and cheat on ourselves and disappoint ourselves and end up shrugging our shoulders, getting discouraged and thinking, what's the use? But if we were to, instead of make a resolution, make a prayer and start the year on our knees instead of standing up on our own strength, I think we'll finish the year standing on our feet instead of being on our knees, you know, and discouragement. And so take time to set apart time for a prayer. Your prayer for the year should be something that you take a day to pray. Take a day, because there you'll hear God. Prayer isn't just saying, God, give me stuff, which is what a lot of people think that's what prayer is. Oh, I'm just praying that God will help me do this, and I'm just asking him to do that, and could you do this and do that and do that? Thank you, see you. And he's going, can I get a word in? And you're saying, oh, I'm just here to ask you for stuff. He says, well, there's a more mature way to actually walk with me, and that's to, we have a conversation. And the sweetest thing you'll ever hear in your life is the voice of God speaking to your heart. If you're anxious about a thing, you can pray maybe for an hour and you're still anxious, but then finally a voice comes in and says, everything's all right. Or just gives you a piece of advice, a bit of wisdom, and you go, oh, that's what I could do. And at that point, your heart will calm, your mind will be at peace. And even though in the absence of hearing from God, we try and invent that would be God, or this might be God, or I got a desire like that might be God. You'll never be in doubt when you hear from God. It's not that could be God or that might be God. There is no doubt whatsoever. He has no problem in communicating. He is not a poor communicator. We are poor listeners sometimes, but if we would put ourselves in a position to hear, you will actually find eventually he will speak, and sometimes he will delay that moment simply because he wants to spend a little time with you. You go, God, talk to me. He says, let's just sit together. God, talk to me, talk to me, talk. Not talking. Just hang out. Feel my presence. Let's commune. And then he might just speak into your heart this simple word. He's got a great economy with language, I find. You speak one thing, you say, oh, thank you, Lord. God is real, he's there, and he wants a relationship with us, but you can't have one of those without time. You can't have one of those without a two-way conversation. That's what relationship is. And listen to me, the greatest destiny and purpose any one of us in this room have is a relationship with the Almighty God. So when you're walking, you know he's there with you. You're not hoping or guessing, you know it. Without any shadow of a doubt. Now, this prayer that we're looking at here today is a prayer that Paul prayed. And let me tell you this, there is no problem in praying another person's prayer. That's why there are prayer books. That's why there's the book of Psalms, the greatest prayer book in the world. If you're at a loss for what to say to God about your pain, pick a psalm. Pick a psalm, especially the one about crushing enemies and things like that. Amen. Well, maybe not, but do you know the thing is, or else take a New Testament prayer. One of Paul's prayers, like this prayer, for this cause I bow my knees to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I do this for you. I'll say, dear God, I'm praying this for our people. And it's interesting, the things that I might have thought that I would like to happen in the church are quite different sometimes to what Christ or the apostle wants to happen in the people. We're looking for certain things to take place. They're looking for entirely different things sometimes. And so to pray the prayers of another person can be helpful. It can put in language things in your spirit that haven't yet crystallized into your consciousness. And so as you actually begin to pray those, you find yourself entering into the same attitude, the same mindset, the same spirit of these great and enormous characters of Bible history. Especially as you pray out a psalm, you feel the heart of a psalmist, of David, of a warrior, of a king, of an anointed person. And if anything's going to be, if any prayer is going to be anointed, it's a prayer that Jesus prayed, or it's a prayer that Paul prayed, not just one of ours. But then obviously there's also spontaneous prayer where the Spirit is guiding the prayers of your heart and you pray out. But if we just stay with that prayer, I fear that we will find ourselves in a very me-centered prayer life. I think we'll find ourselves in a very self-absorbed, selfish, and self-centered prayer life, because they're the things that get our attention the most easily when we're feeling our world. But you know, Jesus, when he taught us to pray, he said, I want you to pray not my Father, but our Father. And that is astonishingly important. That our Father, this here, I could write a very large book on that, just in antithesis to the age in which we live in, because most people's prayers, most people's Christianity is about them, themselves. Recently, a couple of other guys, about three other guys and myself, we went on a motorcycle ride. And so it was for 2 days, in the hottest days these guys chose, like 46 degrees, so we're melting on our way out to Mudgee, but a beautiful, beautiful ride. But before we get on the bikes, we're all huddle up. And I said, huddle. Bikers don't cuddle. Huddle. And so we're there huddling and praying. Okay, dear God, look after us. Keep us safe. Keep the truckers on the right side of the road. Amen. And everything else. And so we're praying. And I thought to myself how ludicrous it would be if one of our guys right there started praying, Lord, look after me. Don't let me fall off my bike. Don't let me. And it got into that sense. And I'm thinking, imagine a bunch of soldiers going into battle and they're praying, dear God, we pray that we'll be able to win this war, we'll be able to find ourselves in safety, et cetera, et cetera. Imagine if one of those guys starts praying, Lord, don't let me get hit by a bullet, keep me safe so I can go home to my family. And I mean, it ignores the rest of who we are. Christianity is not lived in isolation. It's impossible to live it on our own. We are in this together. And I cannot pray for something for myself that's bad for others. That's not going to be an answered prayer. My prayer has to have in it the hour. It's going to be good for all of us. And if we have a sense, even when we're praying on our own, that we are praying in a sense of community, we only become who we really are in community. We are never who we really are or who we fully are in isolation. And you'll find that hell is complete isolation. When people say they're going to have a party with their friends, everybody's so consumed with themselves and their own pain, they're not even conscious there's anybody else around, in complete black darkness. And heaven is about fellowship and us discovering in the light one another and the beauty and the glory of God that is invested in every one of us. And so that's what the beauty of the church is. That's why turning up becomes so very, very important. I mean, I'm welcoming everybody who's watching online. God bless you. It's fantastic to have you with us. And I understand it may not be reasons why you couldn't be with us today. But I tell you, you need to be there, not just watch it online. You don't want to be watching the rapture online. You want to be there. You don't want to be Skyping from heaven. Oh, it's really good. You know, like, yeah, what's it like? You actually need to go there physically and say, yeah. And to be engaged in that fellowship, there's something that is caught that can't be caught in any other way. So for this reason, that was just about prayer, but let's get into the prayer. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here's the thing. With the reason that God is going to get us to bow our knees, generally we say that term in relationship to the past. We will say it in three areas. I'm going to cover three areas. We say, this happened last year. Okay, so like I said, our son Joseph proposed to a girl. They decide to get married. It's going to happen. Now I've got an unexpected budget item about halfway through the year. For this reason, I bow my knees. God, you know, Lord, we need a little help here. And, you know, as I'm looking into the future of our congregations all around the world, and I'm thinking about what happened last year or whoever's joined and whatever, and it's maybe not enough, I go, for this reason, I bow my knees. If I've had past disappointments, if things last year were a disappointment or wounding or hurtful, for this reason, I bow my knees. There's a cause for us to actually engage with God. And number two, there's always the future. And that's exactly what Paul is talking about here as he looks into the future of the Ephesian church. And he is saying, listen, in the past you've received Jesus and now you've become fellow heirs with the Jewish community, with the Israel community. They have got a covenant with God that he cut that is astronomical. And now you guys have come into that covenant of promise. And I want you in the future to have your eyes opened, what Pastor Reuben was talking about. I want you to get it. I want you to get the revelation, because knowing it is one thing, but getting it is another. You get that aha moment where you go, oh, I get it. And you will hear things for a long time until one day it goes, boom, it becomes light. It's an explosion inside of you, and then you get it. And you know, and Paul is praying for that. And that is what I would pray for. So it's not so much us pleading with you from a pulpit or from a leadership stand to come, but rather to pray for you that you get it and you find an impelling emotion on the inside, that from within you are motivated to actually say, I'm going to serve Christ. I want to do something for God. And he prays that they would discover their purpose. So he's saying, I want you to discover this awesome design and purpose that God has got for you. But then I want you to discover your personal purpose as well. And for every one of us, God has an individual purpose with the very simple gifts, the very simple things that we do in our life. You know, about a few days ago, I was thinking, Lord, because I've seen some ladies out with easels and they're painting. And I thought, and some guys too, you know, like little groups. And I thought, man, I could have one of those. That'd be kind of cool, just teaching people how to paint. And we could all get a group together. And because I have found that just trying to tell people they need to receive Jesus doesn't kind of work. There needs to be a longer journey that builds trust and a sense of friendship. And just to say, hey, go down to church, and we're believing that that sign will have incredible magical powers and people will just come in because they see the sign. Ain't going to happen. You and I are the sign. And we actually are these are just backups to let people know we're here. But the real reason people come is because they come with someone else into the house of God, or they come to Christ with friends. Very rarely, hardly ever will you hear of anybody just walking in all on their own. Occasionally it happens, but And just to go to church is a big event. And so to have friends, to go with a group, it's cool. So I was thinking, well, I could get involved in that, you know, like once a month or something. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, don't be stupid. And I said, oh, Lord, I thought it was a pretty good idea, didn't you? He said, no, get Annie Kelsey to do it. I said, that's a better idea. Yeah, she's better artist. She's got probably more time. I'm not sure, but you know, it's a. And so last night in the Saturday night service, she was there. I said, Annie Kelsey, come out here. And I prophesied over her. Amen. Pray for her. I ordained her into, you know, just yesterday on the beach, she was sitting on the beach with her friend Leonie, and she threw her hands up in the air. This is what Leonie told me. She threw her hands up and said, I want some clarity about what I'm meant to be doing, God. Amen. She's in the service last night, and I get the sense, boom, and she says, well, it couldn't be clearer, you know, like he answers prayer. So in the chapel service, I thought, you know, what would a chapel service people do? They probably walk a lot, you know, they go on walks once or twice a week, and or maybe three or four times a week, so they could have walking groups. So I said, who walks here? Pretty well the whole room stood up. They go for walks. I said, what an awesome thing we can do. Walking tours together. And then I was thinking about the 10 a.m. service and Tony Moylan. He said to me, they're swimmers. Amen. You know, I don't know if he's right. But how many of you swim every week, every morning? Yeah, like, yeah, see, Tony, there's only Tony. Yeah. And no, there's like five. Mr. Broadhead up there. Is that Mr. Broadhead? It is, yeah. But how many walkers are in here? Now we're going. But it doesn't matter what you do. You could say, hey, I just am not going to walk on my own anymore. Get a group with me. Some of you might be into book reading, and you form a group and put your name down on the next step list bar out there, and we'll strategize and say, hey, bring these people. And how easy is it? Like motorbike clubs and all these sort of things. You can discover purpose in the simplest of things. Don't be saying, oh, I haven't got great talent. You got something. You can walk. You can read a book. And with that little that we have, you'll be surprised at what purposes can come out of those seemingly insignificant and unimportant little details of our lives. And let me tell you this. When we stop living just to accomplish the things that we want in our lives and start to think about trying to do something for another person, there's an energy and a nourishment and a strength that will come on the inside of you that will be from heaven, and you start to live and get excited about what could happen and thinking, man, I could be useful. I could be doing something more meaningful than just sitting at home watching the tennis. I could actually go out and make the word love mean something. Amen. So this call of Paul's, he's saying, I'm praying, as I am praying, as your pastor, God help every member discover their piece in the our community, in the puzzle of what we're doing together to reach a city for Christ. So it's not just about preachers on platforms. It's about an entire army of people mobilized and activated and saying, I can do something. I can get a hold of, whatever God's got for me. And so he says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to start skipping through this real quick, this message, because I got another 14 pages to go. And Psalm 63, verse 1 says, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. Better to seek him early than to seek him late. So take a day to pray. Sometime between now and halfway through February, and just say, I'm going to set aside some time where I can actually hear from God and have him talk into my life. And you'll find that wisdom from heaven will come into your world. And then in verse 16, this is an amazing scripture that he says, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. I'm praying that you will be strong in 2017. I'm praying that you won't collapse under the pressure and the weight of living in Sydney, of paying the rent, of having children, of being married to that person, amen. I'm praying that you be strong. And you'll find yourself able to confront those situations that are awkward and difficult. Many of our problems that we have are because we haven't had the strength to actually make the phone call or write the letter or sit down and talk about it. Sometimes we've just avoided doing that because we're feeling a little weakened on the inside. I'm praying that all of us are strong, strong believers. That our boundaries in our life that we've said, I'm not going to go over there and do that, we're able to stick with it. That we're strong. I'd rather make prayers than resolutions, because prayers include God in the resolution. His power will help me stay within the boundaries of the lifestyle that he has set before us. So I'm a disciple in the kingdom, not just an attender at church, but I'm actually living for Jesus Christ. And the power of that comes out of being a disciple person, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. And then he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Okay, so what you need to ask yourself, what are my roots in? Where am I getting my nourishment and life from? Because if the roots of my life, with what I think about, what my heart is involved in, what my spirit is entwined with. Whatever the roots, the foundations, the hidden areas, the under earth areas of my life are sucking up into my system, that's what I'm going to be in my head. That's what I'm going to be in my life. So if I make a prayer, dear God, help me stay in the Word this year. If your roots are in the Word of God, your head's going to be thinking bright thoughts. If your roots are soaking up the water that's in the soil of worship, like this morning, that is a life-transforming experience. Standing here singing that song, Who Could Stop the Lord Almighty? I mean, something in your spirit starts sparking and you can feel the motor turn on. You think, my God, nothing's impossible. But if my roots are in newspapers and negative fake news, amen, whatever that kind of news is, I don't know, maybe, you know, some of it, but if I'm just reading and hearing and listening to that whine, that negativity out there, that's what's going to be in my head. I've got to make a decision. There's going to be some boundaries about what I eat in my soul, what my mind is going to feed on. And you might be considered, oh, that's not real. Well, I never buy into that argument that reality can't be joyful. When people say, oh, you're not being real, the world's a terrible place. No, it's not. It's magnificent. It's awesome. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. And there's magnificent people everywhere. Depends how you're going to look at it all. Okay, so we're rooted and grounded in love, and I want to get to this verse. Ephesians 3:18, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth. The width of God's love, the length of God's love, the depth of God's love, and the height of God's love. Listen to me. His width never ends. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far his love goes. There's not one of you in this place that is unacceptable to God. His acceptance is broad enough to include every human being on the face of planet Earth. The width of his love embraces every single person. Jesus Christ did not die just for some. He died for all the world. For God so loved the entire world that whoever believes in him will be saved. The length, God's patience is never ending, friends. He will just stay as patient as long as the earth is here. He will stay patient with you. He keeps long suffering is a lot longer than our long suffering. There does come a day when it finishes, but it's 1,000 times longer than any of us would ever imagine. The depth of his love, there's not a heart that's so dark or so deeply lost that Jesus can't touch you. It's not like you're beyond his reach because you've gone down a hole. He can go down there and pull you out. He's been to the bottom of hell and come back. And the height of God's love, you can dream a limitless dream, friends. There's no ceiling to the height of the love of God. There's no ceiling. He's like, with God, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible to him who believes. Verse 19, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Okay, so here is one of the most amazing passages you'll ever see. It's just a short sentence, but it's got to be the biggest short sentence in the history of the world. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. If you're filled, there's no room for anything else. If something is filled up, there's no room for anything else. With all, it's all there is of God. It's not just part of God. That you may be filled with a piece of God. No, it's all of God has come to dwell within you. This is the prayer Paul is praying for the Ephesian people. He's saying, for this cause I'm on my knees, that they would understand what this is about, that they have been filled with all the fullness, all of what God is, all of his mind, all of his heart, all of his emotions, all of his power. And this may seem very different to your everyday experience. And that is why Paul is saying, I am praying that the church understands who they really are, who they have become. They have become people who are filled with all the fullness of the Almighty God. They are people of power. God, there's no greater person than God to fill your life. And then Paul gets really ridiculous, because then he says in verse 20, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly," this is me writing really fast, "above, ask, or think." Okay, he has just prayed the biggest prayer you can pray for people, filled with all the fullness of God. And now he says, "Now to him who's able to do what I just prayed, exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I've just asked or thought." I find we get so earthbound with problems and challenges and difficulties that it can limit you from seeing how big our God is and what possibilities there are ahead of us. And sometimes we can make resolutions to do with tiny little areas in our life. But honestly, friends, there's a purpose for you that exceeds anything you've ever dreamed of. It's exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. This word "or" here is important. It's not "and." He's not saying ask and think. He's saying ask or think. The word "think" is a Greek word, which is noio. And that word means to perceive and conceive. Sort of like that. I perceive it and I give birth to it. To conceive in your mind is to lay an egg in your head. What you dwell on constantly is the egg you're laying and the egg you're hatching in your head. And this means that our prayers, ask or think, our prayers are asking and thinking, meaning that our thoughts are as loud as our prayers in heaven. So getting our thought life and getting our prayer life and our dream life and our asking life all in the same congruency, all in the same harmony, is important. Here this morning, I want you to reach out and say, "I'm going to receive Paul's prayer for us in the church here in the 21st century. I'm going to have that revelation where I understand how big the love of God is for my life. And I'm going to understand how enormous it is to be filled with all the fullness of God. And I'm going to translate that into my lifestyle here on earth as I reach out to people around me, and they'll discover the power of Christ on the inside of my life." You know, as I just come to a close here, there may be some of us here this morning who have never felt like, "I understand what it is to follow Jesus. I understand what it is to have him in my life." Well, I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes right across this hall. And if that's you this morning, you've never prayed a prayer saying, "Jesus, come into my life." Or you've been away from God and you need to come back. Or you're just not sure you're going to heaven. Friend, listen to me carefully while you've got your eyes closed. Listen to me right now. It's the most important decision you could ever make, to say, "Yeah, I'm going to pray that prayer." The most important prayer you can pray at the start of 2017 is, "Jesus Christ, come into my life." If you've been away from God, the most important prayer you can pray is, "I'm coming back. I'm returning this morning." Or if you're not sure you're going to heaven, I want you also to raise your hand when I ask. So I'm going to ask you in a couple seconds to raise your hand. Make sure you put it up. If you've never prayed that prayer, "Jesus, come into my life." Or if you've been away from God, or you're making sure you're going to heaven. Right now, friend, wherever you are in this hall, if that's you, put your hand up high for me. Put it up high and say, "That's me, Pastor. This is all I'm going to ask you to do, just so that we can pray for you. Thank you." Who else is there? Would you raise your hand? Just raise it high so that I can see. In Jesus' name, God is going to touch you and bring life into your soul today. Thank you, Heavenly Father. I'd like us all to pray this prayer this morning. Dear God in heaven, I receive Jesus Christ. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Make me your child. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord, I pray right now for your presence to fill every heart here with peace. Those who prayed this prayer for the first time, I'm praying, Lord, that your power will expand their thinking, expand their faith, increase their vision of all that you can do in our lives. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Give the Lord a big clap offering, would you?
Thanks for listening. We are always encouraged to hear the stories of great decisions that you have made and the great things that God is doing in your life. So if you have a story to share or if you have a prayer request, please email us at podcast@myc3church.net.